What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at Fightful Select's Backstage Report podcast for May 27th, 2024. We're off the heels of AEW Double or Nothing, WWE King and Queen of the Ring, and got a lot more stuff for you guys. MJF returned last night and with a fiery promo. Plans have been in motion for MJF's return for quite some time. Double or Nothing, long being the target date. We've told that preparations were made well ahead of time to plan for his return. We've not heard that MJF actually underwent shoulder surgery, as he had told some in the industry that he had worn that brace to help throw people off his track in recent weeks. Now, that being said, he was legitimately injured at AEW World's End, and if he would have been pulled from that match, it would not have been a surprise to me. Now, the nature of Adam Cole's injury played a major factor in creative last year, and the ramifications are still felt. There were plans for a major match between the two last year, but as of the spring, it didn't look like that would be possible upon MJF's immediate return, although Adam Cole did get physical during MJF's return segment. But this was sort of to put a bow on that. There have been additional MJF themes prepared by Mikey Ruckus, including the orchestral version that you all heard on the promo and a piano version. There have also been significant creative plans in order for MJF to be involved in a top feud. As if he didn't make it clear enough, he is in AEW long term. And we can confirm he is on a multi-million dollar per year contract. Now, what I don't know is when that new deal was agreed to signed. Sometime after AEW Double or Nothing 2022 and that controversy, he did get a new deal. I don't know if that was an extension. I don't know if that replaced his deal. I don't know if that was... I don't know how the nature of that, because we could be looking at a situation where he got a new deal immediately and then... We're already 2 years into it, but he is on a long-term deal with AEW on a massive money increase over what he had. And that was part of the frustration back then, was he had been very loyal to AEW and signed for a very team-friendly deal, so to speak. And he was watching after he had already signed a bit of an extension. He saw a lot of talent come in and make way, way, way more than... he was making, and he believed that he had earned that and eventually got that deal. Most of the roster believed that MJF would be returning at Double or Nothing, and Fightful had reported he'd be coming back imminently. We heard that the plan was for him to fly to another city out west and be driven to the show. Nobody we spoke to saw him ahead of the return. I think that he flew into Phoenix, and they probably had him driven from there on through, but AEW seemed very, very happy with his return as well. We're going to have a lot more on MJF in the coming weeks, obviously, and I mean, there's just so much going on there. Took some time off again, looks great, wonderful return. AEW, Double or Nothing last night. We spoke to Darby Allin ahead of it, and he told us about getting cleared. He said that he got cleared like the day before, day of, had to call his specialist in order to make that happen. And... he also confirmed that he was hidden in the back ahead of his return and all that stuff. That way people wouldn't know that he was there. But he said that Tony kind of called him, and he was like, yes, I can do Double or Nothing, before Tony even really said anything. He also said that the glass spot was one of the easiest spots he's done relative to what he thought it would be like, right? He also said that Brody King hit him as... hard as he has ever been hit. And then he also talked about the broken foot that he had against Jay White and how that ended up being one of the most painful things he had ever experienced in his career, in his life. But yeah, he talked to us about getting cleared, the process of the bumps, all that good stuff. And then as soon as he found out Eddie Kingston couldn't go for Double or Nothing, he made sure that he could go. Check out that interview. There's a lot of information that he dropped in there. And one, you probably see my eyes light up when I ask about Sting's sons. And he's like, yeah, Steve Borden, the one that played tight end at the University of Kentucky. He's training to be a pro wrestler, and he's living at my house in a tent. I can tell you guys that when Steve Borden Jr., obviously, got recruited to University of Kentucky, that's obviously when he popped on my radar. I live a few miles away from there and was only like an hour away at the time, but Kentucky is my college team, you know, love them. And that was kind of a cool situation. Then you look at him and you're like, oh, he could transition well, barring, you know, anything really horrible happening. Because at the time, he was listed as 6'3", 250. And he's the small one. I believe he is in his early 30s, but they could probably bring him along pretty well based on what we saw there. Steve, I did reach out to him after this, and we had a little laugh because I told him as soon as Darby said that, I was like, oh, this is going to be a big deal. This is going to get attention. And then he posted a picture of the tent that he is living in the backyard. Unreal. Unreal. Some AEW Double or Nothing news. The new Adam Copeland theme was Slayer's South of Heaven. He used that at WrestleMania 39. I don't know if that's planned on being the full-time theme. I know that they produced some other stuff as well. Wheeler Yuta was in Las Vegas. As you saw, Juice Robinson appeared. Fightful Select reported that he was in Las Vegas as well. We'd reported that MJF would be around. Had reported that Britt Baker would not be around. We've asked about Jamie Hayter. We did not get an update. Nothing seems imminent on that front. Tanahashi's collision appearance was protected internally, but numerous people saw him in Las Vegas ahead of his appearance on Collision. In case you wondered, there was an obvious audible called in the FTW title match with that first table spot. The new Trent theme was done by Mikey Ruckus. Regarding the New York Post story saying that Mercedes Moné was cleared in December 2023, AEW sources reached out to say if that was the case, it was a major surprise to them. New Japan sources reached out and said that if she was able to wrestle in January, they would have tried to book her for Wrestle Kingdom and Battle in the Valley. And AEW sources that we spoke to say that it was pretty clear that Mercedes wasn't going to be wrestling until May and that that was due to the injury. I can tell you that WWE sources that I spoke to at the time also indicated, well, no, she's not going to be at the Royal Rumble because she wouldn't be able to be at the Royal Rumble as far as they believed. So I can't make any sense of that because everybody but her was saying something completely different. You can expect to see more New Japan wrestlers pop up in the coming weeks, as soon as this week as well, in that gauntlet. We're also told that other familiar faces will be popping up in AEW. While we're on the subject of AEW, Ty Mello back in the ring training, we have not heard of any creative plans for her imminently. For those asking about Miro, AEW had hoped they'd get him back in the spring, but the injury was behind schedule. Some MLW news. Matthew Justice was fined after his balcony toss. MLW is looking at running possibly California and Toronto. Internal claims from the company said that they did 21-16 in attendance for Chicago. They are internally touting some really great numbers, some successful attendances. And again, from at least from a company internal standpoint, you always have to look at that and say, okay, how accurate are those numbers? But based on what I've heard, man, MLW doing really well. I know they don't get the internet love that a lot of people, a lot of other companies get, but they seem like they're doing very well on that front. I don't know what to attribute it to. I'll ask around in the company. The action figure wave also sold really, really well for them. And I think they're looking at getting some more in there as well. But good for MLW, man. I mean, we have seen time and time again, if you pop up on MLW, you are generally on WWE's radar, at least during the previous regime. Don't know how that'll work out now, but good for MLW. At the TNA tapings, we had some spoilers up. I was there for night two. Jose the Assistant, the former AEW manager, met with TNA at the TNA tapings in Newport, Kentucky. He flew there, hung out. We're told he met with Tommy Dreamer. We have not heard of any plans being in order as of right now. Also, I believe Jose is looking to possibly wrestle again. And I mean, if you ever saw him in AEW, you know the man is in shape to wrestle. I mean, he looks a lot better than many wrestlers do. Kenny Omega will not be wrestling anytime soon, unfortunately. His path to recovery has continued with a very big move. We reported last week that Kenny Omega underwent surgery on May 16th in New York. That's why some fans had posted pictures with him in the area. There are no creative plans for Omega and AEW at the time. They are expecting a lengthy recovery. He's been sidelined since mid-December 2023, and he was effectively written back off of TV for a while by the Elite, who attacked him. AEW is pretty good with that. They did that with Adam Cole the other day, and also with Omega, as mentioned. some independent news. Corey Brennan spoke with Progress World Champion Kid Lykos ahead of Super Strong Style 16. Check out that interview. We have full notes as well. He talks about Mad Kurt, which, you know, is a sensitive subject for many people. I've really liked hearing all the Mad Kurt love of late. May he rest in peace. One of the funniest human beings I ever interacted with. Kid Lykos also talked about the possibility of NXT Europe and his goals for the year. A lot of good stuff there. Corey Brennan is doing, in addition to NXT coverage, some really good European independent scene coverage as well. And we're going to have a bunch of exclusives on that as well, including he had details on Simon Miller's absence from Strong Style 16. He announced that he would not be able to compete in the tournament and would be replaced by Jack Bandicoot, who's brought in on short notice due to his connection with the fans. Progress found out Saturday evening about Miller's injury, and Simon's expected to be on the shelf for at least 6 weeks with a shoulder injury. Miller is said to be devastated by the timing of it. Megan Bain, so there's some back and forth here, because we have heard as of recently as a few weeks ago there were some AEW pitches for her. However, I'm told there's some outside interest in her. I don't know if her deal is already up or it's up imminently or what's going on there, but there were creative pitches for her within AEW fairly recently. I know there was some concern. I don't want to say concern. Some inquisition on AEW's part as to whether Rossi leaving Stardom would affect her and, you know, how her allegiance looked in that regard and all that. But she's been back in the States working. And while her next move appeared a little more clear-cut about 4 days ago, I don't know that it's so clear-cut now. And I hate that because I did that story to help get you guys some answers. But right after we ran it, there were people in AEW and people that were close to her that were like, man, she might have some outside interest. Some WWE employee cuts. Kristen Prouty was one of the names let go. She had listed herself as having worked with WWE since 2000. She'd become the senior VP of Entertainment Relations, a spot that she held for nearly 20 years. We're told that she was instrumental in helping land the Logan Paul deal. Another name is Tavia Hartley. Hartley was hired in 2021, was listed as the Talent Operations and Appearances Manager. We've not heard of any talent cuts, but we'll let you know if something like that happens. Natalya, she has been approached to extend her deal with WWE. I think they'll probably get a deal done. I've heard the money is pretty good. I have not heard of a deal being signed. I heard that she was going to weigh her options, and the outside projects were very important to her, including the Hart family movie. Her deal expires in a matter of weeks unless she and the company strike a new deal. It's also hard for me to believe that if she's a free agent, she at least won't get some kind of offer to come in and do the Owen Hart tournament. Because why wouldn't she? She was not in Saudi Arabia last week. Instead, she was in New York doing Special Olympics and military work while WWE travels to Saudi Arabia. TJ Wilson was in Saudi Arabia doing production for that show. I would believe that if she went, he would probably go where she goes in this situation. And I don't think he's under a contract. I think he's probably under an employment agreement. Julia, WWE, on the morning of May 24th, Wrestling Observer reported several details about Julia's impending WWE debut, and Corey Brennan had some further context on this. With regard to the injury she sustained, WWE sources told Brennan that the company are comfortable with Julia healing while remaining in Japan. They're not expected to interfere with her desire to still appear on shows that she was originally scheduled to wrestle on. NXT and Marigold sources both told Fightful Select's Corey Brennan that the injury initially worried to be worse than it turned out to be, with Julia heavily favoring it backstage after her match. However, the timetable remains up in the air, depending on how the bone fracture in her right wrist heals after surgery. With her moving to the U.S., NXT sources tell Brennan that the officials expect Julia to make her first appearance for the brand before she makes the permanent move to the States along with her family. While Wrestling Observer reports that visa issues will not factor into the Heatwave appearance, Brennan is told by both sources in WWE in Japan that this would cause issues with a possible appearance in the States, as Julia has previously had no issues securing work visas in the States previously. Sorry if I misspoke there. It would not cause issues. On NXT Heatwave, as Brendan previously reported, WWE had been hopeful to make the Julia Roxanne match happen. It had always been dependent on Julia's Marigold dates and her injury status. It was reported in that Roxanne was working stiffer at live events to prepare for the match, but I'm told that that isn't accurate, and it's just, if that's the case, then it just happened to happen. It wasn't due to the Julia aspect. Those that Brendan spoke to say that at minimum they believe in Marigold that Julia will look to make good on the dates that she will miss due to her injury and would look to be back in the ring for the promotion as soon as she's cleared from the fracture. WWE and Marigold sources confirmed to Corey Brennan that Julia will not be exclusive to NXT and WWE for quite a while, if at all, and working with Marigold was a sticking point in her negotiations to sign with the company in April. We're going to have a whole lot more news for you guys this week. A lot of Becky Lynch updates. Still hasn't signed that new deal. We'll have that on have that full story on Fightful Select shortly. Until next time, guys, we're out.